In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us as disciples of your Son to love the world with compassion and constancy, that your name may be known throughout the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called the house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. May God give us blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe. A reading from Romans. Paul writes, I ask, then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrecoverable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Then the disciples approached him and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone, that they are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain this parable to us. Then he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. From out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In getting at our gospel lesson today, I think it's helpful if we get some context in how tradition is understood, used, and even abused. One of my favorite quotes that I've shared many times comes from theologian Yaroslav Pelikan when he said, "Tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living." And I believe in Matthew's gospel in chapter 15, Jesus is contending with traditionalism. Now, for context, I think it's important to get those nine verses that precede our gospel lesson today. "Then the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat.' He answered them, 'And why do you break the commandment of God? For the sake of your tradition. For God said, honor your father and mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that whoever tells father or mother, whatever support you might have had from me is given to God, then that person need not honor the father. So for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God, you hypocrites. Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.'" Now, the tradition of the elders was an oral code of biblical interpretation that typically intensified the law. In this instance, it was dealing with hand washing. Now, Jesus rejects hand washing as human law and calls the Pharisees and scribes out for picking and choosing what they want to emphasize and what they want to ignore, and how easily they too break God's commandments. Jesus tells them that you break God's commandment to honor father and mother by giving to religious institutions instead of using that money to care for them. Now, I don't care who you are, where you lived, what time period you lived in as a Christian. Individually and collectively, we all do the same thing. We negotiate with the scriptures, and we emphasize and intensify some instructions, and we ignore others. It's what we do. It's why it's convicting to hear these words from Isaiah. "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." And we don't always think of it this way, but the Bible is part of Christian tradition. And we often take the Bible and use it to emphasize human principles, while our hearts are far away from God and far away from the way of Jesus. So that scene with the Pharisees and the scribes goes right in to our gospel lesson today. After he has that back and forth with the Pharisees and scribes, he calls the crowd together to explain the heart of the matter here. That what truly defiles a person is what comes out of them. What impacts our neighbor and community is not our ritual or lack of rituals, but it's how we live our lives in following the way of God. those evil intentions that come from the heart that Jesus mentions are all actions that just don't harm ourselves. They harm other people. How our lives and impact and actions impact those around us are more important than the rituals we think make us pure and holy. Because if those rituals that we engage in don't transform us to consider our neighbor, then Jesus would say they're empty. It's just lip service to God. Now, this should even give us some context to Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman here in Matthew's gospel. In Mark's gospel, it's a Syrophoenician woman. But we get some context here. And I tend to agree with scholars like N.T. Wright that this encounter that Jesus has with the Canaanite woman may be filled with banter and satire. He just has this argument about weaponizing tradition, followed by an explanation that we heard today about what defiles a person. You think all of a sudden Jesus is going to forget and neglect his own teaching? Now, if I'm a disciple of Jesus at this time, and I'm telling Jesus, send her away, forgetting everything I just heard, and now I see Jesus engage this person, I'm not only going to feel uncomfortable, but I'm going to see very quickly how harsh my beliefs are when they're pushed to the logical conclusions. That if the disciples had their way, this woman's daughter would continue to suffer. And they would just go on their merry way. They don't have to engage her. They don't want to engage her. But Jesus takes their beliefs and says it right to this woman's face. It's one thing to think that someone's undeserving of something. It's another thing to say it to their face. Jesus goes as far to essentially say that your daughter, you and your daughter are nothing more than dogs. Now again, because we don't know tone when these conversations are taking place. It could very well be playful here, in which Jesus is showing the disciples just how cruel and ungodly their beliefs are when inflicted on someone. And then the faith of this woman comes to light. There's something inside of her that knows God is for everyone. That she and her daughter are not to be excluded from the kingdom. That at the very least, they're entitled to crumbs. That in her desperation, she turns to Jesus and trusts his promise and ability to heal. And what does Jesus say? Woman, great is your faith. Remember, if you were here last week, I mentioned how all those in Matthew's gospel with little faith are the disciples. They're the insiders. They have little faith, but it's the outsiders in Matthew's gospel that demonstrate great faith. What defiles us is when we use tradition and scripture to tell us that we are righteous and that we can go around dehumanizing others in this world. What defiles us is that when we think we can pervert our faith to justify the neglect and harm of our neighbor in this world, what defiles us and when we think we can rationalize the exclusion of other people from God's kingdom and God's table. Now, I think another dimension that we miss when we hear this gospel lesson is that we may read this, as I said just before, and think that put ourselves in the place of the disciples, put ourselves in the in-group. And that's helpful for us to ponder here, because we need to be called out and convicted in how guilty we are in honoring God with our lips, but our hearts being far away. But we forget that if we existed in this context, we would be the ones compared to the dogs. We are predominantly a Gentile church, a non-Jewish church today. We're part of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but we are adopted into the fold through the love of God in Jesus Christ. And the new covenant gives us all more than just crumbs, but life everlasting and a place at God's table forever. Jan Sanradam says this: when we feel that our life has gone to the dogs, when we feel forgotten and ignored, betrayed and humiliated, it is just for people like us, for all of us whose lives have gone to the dogs, that Jesus has something to say to each of us. You're always welcome at my table. And it's on the cross that we see Jesus dehumanized. that his life has gone to the dogs, certainly no better than dogs. And it is in the resurrection that love prevails. Love prevails in saying that God calls us to no longer dehumanize humanity, but raise humanity to new life. No longer is there a desecration of God's creation, but in the resurrection, bringing all of God's creation to new life, making all things new, bringing us all into a full communion with God, and the restoration of God's creation is what we get in the resurrection and the love that prevails through the cross. So we don't just have a word to hear. We don't just have a word to say, but we have a word to live by. That God loves you. That our God welcomes you. That there is a place for you at God's table and in God's kingdom where we are fed with more than just crumbs. We're given the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in communion with the saints of every time and every place. It is a foretaste of the feast to come, but it brings healing. It brings wholeness. It brings salvation to us, more than a reminder, because we are filled and fed with the living God. We don't just confess God with our lips, but we consume the Word, Jesus Christ. And we are transformed into the body of Christ for this world, where all may know through the love of Jesus that there's a place for them in God's family, where they can get their fill, where mercy and new life is what God offers to each and every one of us. So, beloved children of God, may our living faith point to and share the love of Jesus, whose faithfulness gives us all a place with God, now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to the heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will not be judged with the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation. O God, your Spirit gathers the church. Shepherd those who are newly baptized and newly ordained in the proclamation of the gospel. Breathe life into ecumenical and interreligious endeavors, and support missionaries throughout the globe. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You created the earth and all its inhabitants and declared it good. Clean, polluted skies, seas, and soil provide nourishment to plants and animals and make us aware of our impact on the environment. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You call leaders to bridge differences and practice generosity. Inspire all in authority to protect people in harm's way, deliver those in bondage, support fair elections, provide care for military personnel and veterans, and show mercy to those for whom they have responsibility. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You provide for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Embrace people who have been rejected because of difference. Heal trauma caused by racism and prejudice. Shield any who are persecuted. Console the dying and heal the sick, especially those impacted by the wildfires in Maui, Hawaii. Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Susie, Scott, Connie, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Donna, Melina, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Vanessa, Lucas, Bill, John, Mary, Diane, Carol, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. O God, you journey with us in all of life's transitions. Guide those preparing for baptism, marriage, and retirement. Guide our church, council, and committees in their visioning and ministry. Safeguard those who travel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give you thanks for those who now rest from their labors, especially Bernard of Clairvaux, whom the church commemorates today. Motivate us by their lives of dedication to the gospel until that day when we join with them in our eternal home. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands you commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, you we praise and glorify, you we worship and adore. You formed the earth from chaos, you encircled the globe with air, you created fire for warmth and light, you nourished the lands with water, you molded us in your image, and with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you blessed the Israelites and cherished them as your own. That also we, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit, you call to us through the life and death of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, We remember your Son, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life lived for others and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming when, with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more. Holy God, holy and merciful one, holy and compassionate, send upon us in this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire rouses us to love. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food. Nurture in us the fruits of the Spirit, that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world. Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petitions as Jesus received the cry of the needy, and fill us with your blessing until, needy no longer and bound to you in love, we may feast forever in the triumph of the Lamb, through whom all glory and honor is yours, O God, O Living One, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd invite forward communion assistants and those participating in Children's Church. We will distribute the sacrament kneeling around the altar. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. We offer both consecrated wine and grape juice. Travis, our assistant minister, of the chalice of consecrated wine. An usher will have a chalice of grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. With a shout of joy, bread is broken, the wine is poured.
Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, we recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.